Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, this is our third session in this series. The series is called The Call to Serve God. And tonight's session three, Knowing Our Part. This journey of knowing our part in serving God is a lifelong task. It's not something that we figure out in a moment and then we've got it for the rest of our life, because there are circumstances that are ever evolving. There are ministries that we're involved in at different seasons. There are purposes that the Lord's doing in our region, in our hearts, in our family life, and all these things are constantly evolving. And so this concept of knowing our part, it's not getting an answer. It's really pursuing the Lord all the days of our life to know what our part in serving in His kingdom looks like. Many of you guys know my salvation story. I came to know the Lord more or less on a dare, and at least came to know that God was real on a dare, and gave my life to Him a couple of weeks later on a retreat, snowboarding. So snowboarding is a very godly activity. I've never felt more godly in my life than on a snowboard, just cruising, shredding down the mountain, trying not to run into children. And so the night I gave my life to the Lord, there was a evangelistic message that was being given, and I remember coming to a point in the worship time, even before the message, where the song "Everything That Has Breath, Praise the Lord" was being sung, and I had this crazy revelation that I was an everything. And so I was part of the everything that should praise the Lord, and I gave my life to the Lord in that moment. I can remember it even before there was an evangelistic message. Just that song somehow just touched my heart in a way I realized I needed Jesus. And it was after the message and after somebody gave me a little bit of information at the end of the meeting that I decided to walk home from the venue where we were meeting that night to the hotel, which was just a few blocks away. And it was snow everywhere, beautiful. I've been saved all of 15 minutes. And I'm walking, and I just remember uttering this phrase, and that just I said it, and it was a divine gift of the Lord, and it was one of those things that I accidentally did something right early on. I accidentally had a piece of theology correct early on. It was obviously just a gift of the Lord because I was not so wise or bright. I just said these words. I said, "Lord, I'll serve You with all of my energy, like I used to serve myself with everything I had." Something along those lines. All the energy I used to serve myself, I'll now serve You the rest of my days. And I just said that, and I meant it in my heart, and I was feeling that. And the reason I start off with that tonight is because this subject of the call to serve God is, it's part of our life. It's part of our destiny and our continued existence. Our primary command is to love Him. But a secondary component of life is that we would not just love Him with our mind and our soul, but we would love Him with our strength. And loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, our strength is going to equal doing stuff for Him, serving Him, helping build His kingdom. And that's been our subject for these last couple of weeks. And so tonight, as we jump in, I just want to talk about getting His perspective on serving Him, concerning ourselves with God's assignment. More than knowing Him, more than loving Him, considering His assignment for our lives and concerning ourselves with it. You guys know the verse and the concept found in Psalm 111, verse 10. This concept repeated in the Proverbs, repeated in the New Testament, all throughout the Old in various ways. This idea of having the fear of the Lord. And I just want to point out what the psalmist indicates, that fearing the Lord comes down to following His orders, doing His will. Look what it says here. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and all who follow His precepts have good understanding." His precepts, His orders, His commands, His purposes, His desires. And so the psalmist here indicating that the fear of the Lord is the very beginning point for us of wisdom, and that fear causes us to reach out to know what He commands, to know what He wants, to know His desires, His orders, and to follow those things. And so a significant part of our knowing our part in this call to serve God is that we would fear Him and that we would begin to know what He wants, to begin to think about him as the leader of a kingdom that we're a part of, and to begin to try to see what our part in that kingdom is, to fear the Lord. And that we would not be unproductive in our knowledge of God. I think about these Bible verses, and they provoke me in different seasons, when I feel the weakest. I think about these couple of Bible verses, Titus 3:14 and 2 Peter 1:8. Now these are apostles writing to the New Testament church, writing to the leadership of the New Testament church, and giving instruction about what it means to be a believer. And these verses are to provoke us, to keep us from living unproductive lives. Look at these verses. Titus 3. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good. That doesn't just mean, you know, random acts of kindness. It's talking about serving the kingdom, to serving the good purposes of the kingdom, in order to provide for urgent needs and not live unproductive lives. Paul, looking at Titus and the New Testament church and the order of how the church would be governed and what instructions that Titus would give those under his care. And he says, it's important that we teach the church of Jesus Christ not to live unproductive, not to just be in existence, but to serve the kingdom purposes, to not live in an unproductive way. And then Peter says, similarly, he says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This concept of living unproductive. Now, who would want that said of ourselves? I mean, no one would. Most of us probably have a view of ourselves that would be a stumbling block to us if we were, in fact, living unproductive lives. I think that we've probably been patted on the back and everybody wins the gold star, even if you know, just for participating. And we've been just taught that, you know, just playing the game is winning, and just showing up is enough. We've been taught this enough that I think we probably have a little bit of an inflated self-view of ourselves, that if we were living unproductive lives in Christ, I think we probably wouldn't admit it unless we were forced to stare at it a little bit. But what this concept of living an unproductive life means is that there is such a thing as a scale of productivity. Unproductive, a little bit more than unproductive, fairly productive, really productive. Having lives in Christ that are measurable in the productivity of what we are actually producing, of what we're laboring towards, of what we're establishing, the fruit of our labor. Living in such a way that there is fruit towards the kingdom, that we live in a productive way. Now, the reason I think about this is because the New Testament speaks so much about an assessment of our lives at the end. That the Lord is going to give an assessment of how we served in his kingdom. Again, as we talked about last week, I think there will be many, many, many that the Lord says, I love you so much, and that the response of the heart from those when we show up before the throne, the Lord will say back to the Lord, I loved you so much. The Lord will say, I love you so much. The issue of love does not necessitate that we ever did anything ever for Jesus. We can love him like big love and not actually have ever served in his kingdom purposes. So this isn't an assessment of your love for him specifically. It's an assessment of living a productive life or an unproductive life in Christ. Living productively. And so we know this verse I believe it's in Matthew 25:14-26. I just gave you a little excerpt of this parable, but I want us to think about this, and we're dialoguing about this issue of serving God and knowing our part. The kingdom of God is like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. So the kingdom of God is like, God is likening this, and he's saying, Jesus is saying, the kingdom is like a man going on a journey, and he entrusted his stuff. He entrusted his kingdom, he entrusted his ranch, whatever it is, his property, pieces of his property, pieces of his inheritance, of what was his. He entrusted it to his servants. And the objective is that he's going to go on this journey, and he wants to come back and make sure that the ranch or whatever, the land, whatever it is that he's entrusted, this property, that it didn't go down the toilet while he was out of town. That things kept up while they were going, and even that the aspects of the land that he apportioned out to the different servants, that it thrived, that it actually produced fruit, that it went forward. He says this, entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to one another 1 talent. And the man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work, and he gained 5 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Long time later, the master of those servants returned. And said, you have been a faithful servant. You've been faithful with few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. But then the man who received the 1 talent came. Says, Master, he said, I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. And his master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Now, what this parable is describing is not our relational connection to the Lord so much as it is our servant status in the kingdom, that what we are doing for the Lord with what it is that he's given to us. And so this issue of servanthood is significant, because what Jesus is saying is, he's saying, listen, some of you are going to be 5-talent guys and gals. And if you're a 5-talent person, it's because God made you that way, not because you were so cool that you rose to the top and became a 5-talent person. And to some of you, the Lord's going to say, you're a 2-talent or 3-talent or 1-talent. Whatever caliber of capacity of, you know, fruit productivity you are, the Lord made you that way. And there's no, you couldn't have like voted yourself up. You know, it's not a popularity contest. Whatever level you are, however you feel about yourself, however the Lord sees you, as far as how strong you are, how able you are, how smart you are, how business savvy you are, how administrative you are, whatever your gifts, strengths, and talents, the Lord made you that way. And he's going to assess you not on what he gave you, but on what you do with what he gave you. If you take little and you turn it and you double it, he's excited. If you take a lot and you double it or come close, he's excited. If you take what he gave you and lived the safe life, took what he gave you, his kingdom purposes, his kingdom intentions, those gifts, those talents, those strengths, that authority, that understanding in Christ, if you took those things and you bury them and you do nothing with them, when he comes back, he will not be pleased with what it is that you've done. Now, we want to swallow this. We want to stomach this and understand. We have a responsibility to the kingdom of God to serve the Lord. We have a responsibility to take what he's given us and to turn around and to make it reproduce for him. Now, here's the coolest thing about this. What we're talking about here is all supernatural stuff anyway. Because what you started with, however smart or dumb you are, God gave that to you. So there's nothing you could have done to have made yourself smarter or dumber. I mean, you just start off with what you got. However physically strong you are or physically weak you are, the Lord made you that way. However much influence you have or however little influence, however much money or however little money, the Lord made you that way. All you need to do is take what God gave you, however little, however much, take it and use it for him as best as you can. That's all he's asking. And you're like, well, man, I'm using it as best as I can and I'm coming up really, really short. Awesome. You're doing great. 100%. You win. Well, but my efforts don't seem to produce what's being produced in my friend's life when they invest their energies and strength. Great, don't worry about that. Just you and Jesus. Take what the Lord gave you. Take who the Lord made you, the strength that he gave you, the understanding that he gave you. Take the talents that he gave you and turn around and try to reproduce those, and don't measure yourself against your neighbor. Instead, measure yourself against yourself. What did he give you? Help build the kingdom of God with the strengths and the gifts that he gave you. I'm just imagining in this parable, the servant goes away, and I'm thinking about this picture of a ranch, maybe because I just spent several days on one, but I'm going to go ahead and go with the ranch motif, okay? So I'm imagining he's got this ranch, and it's like the cows are over here, and then the cow barn and, you know, the hay and stuff over here for the cows. And then you've got the sheep and the pasture over here for the sheep. And then you've got the ranch house over here and all the, you know, mechanical issues that can happen with the windmill and the this's and the that's. And then over here you've got the gates and the fences around the whole perimeter, and somebody's got to keep up with that. And then somebody's got to, you know, bring in the different surpluses and take care of this. And somebody's got to feed everybody, you know, cook all the food. I'm just imagining that Jesus in this parable, he's putting people in charge of different aspects of this ranch. And then he's going to go away on a long journey. And as long as everybody, in Jesus' perfect wisdom, He knew, I better not put that guy in charge of the cows. If I give that one the cows, it's going to be too much for him. He can't handle it. I got to give that gal the cows, all right? And then the pigs over here and the horses over here and the sheep over here and the windmill over here. Man, I need you to be my windmill gal or guy. You just do the windmill thing, okay? If everybody will just do the part that the Lord apportioned them to do, him in his perfect wisdom gave and apportioned the different responsibilities in the kingdom just as he knew would be right. And all we've got to do is take what it is that he gave us and just do our field. Just do our part. He didn't give you more than you can handle. He didn't give you assignments that you can't do. He didn't put you in a place that you can't keep up with. He gave each one what he knew that they could handle. And all they had to do was hold down their little part of the fort. And then he would come back and he'd see a working windmill and the gates all intact so the animals don't get out and the hay bales, you know, being spread out as they're supposed to be and everybody well fed. All he wanted was for everybody to do their little part. He's looking for a return on his investment in you. He invested into you components of the kingdom of God. And he wants a return on that investment. And he's watching from afar. He's watching. He'll ask us about how we used what he gave us to build his kingdom. And there's just, every culture has their different strengths and weaknesses. Our culture is so strong in the area of affluence and of finance, just having so much opportunity. We have so much in that regard. And I think that the greatest weakness in our culture, and I'm not talking about the lost world, I'm talking about the church that lives in America, our culture, is that I think we have this tendency to use so much of what God gave us that's intended to build the kingdom, we build ourselves, and we build our own lives, and we build our own purposes, and our own name, and our own families. And the Lord's looking on a return on the investment for kingdom productivity. He wants to see the kingdom of God go forth. I've heard brilliant ideas about how to approach all this come out of IHOP in Kansas City. I love the way that they approach so many different things regarding this idea. That is, figure out what you need to live on, figure out what you need to use for yourself, and then don't use any more for yourself. Use the rest of it for the kingdom of God. Figure out how much time you need to invest in the purposes to run your family and run your household and make things healthy and strong, and then invest the rest of your time in the kingdom of God. Figure out what you need to do in the areas of your emotional strength and your prayer life to be able to manage the things that God gave you in direct proportion to your household and your job and your life and your health. And then use the rest of that time and energy to pray for the things of the kingdom of God. Like, I just think that there's just such an imbalance. What we tend to do is we tend to think solely about ourselves and so little about the kingdom of God. But God is going to come back and he's not going to be impressed with how well we built our own lives. Think about that. Jesus is going to come back, and there's going to be so many that straw, wood, and stubble that just burns up. There's going to be so many that Jesus comes back, and we're going to go, look what I did with all that you gave me. The time, the gifts, the strengths, the influence, the finances, the resources, the energy, the Bible understanding. Look what I did. I built my little life, my world, my house. I built it. And Jesus is not going to be impressed or pleased. He's going to look to what did we do to build the kingdom of God. He will not congratulate us for our comforts. He will not congratulate, big pats on the back. Listen, I like comforts. I'm preaching to me tonight too. He will not congratulate us for our comforts. He's going to come back expecting that we've been busy building his kingdom. Do you know that he only has one kingdom workforce? It's you and me. There's no other workforce. There's no other group. It's not like the angels are going to do the kingdom work. It's our job. If the kingdom of God is going to be built and established in Arlington and in our region, it's going to be us doing it. It's going to be the people of God building his kingdom brick by brick. I want to give you a little bit of the framework of the kingdom. Everything that God is doing is all part of a grand plan. And each of our individual parts all work together into the fullness of his purposes that he's building. And to get a framework of these assessments, needs to, we need to, or these assignments, to get a framework of the assignments of the kingdom of heaven, we need to know the plan. First off, we are a part of the body of Christ. And so whatever it is that we do, we're investing our energies in, whatever it is that we're living for, we need to recognize that we're all part of the body and that that body is working together in the service of the kingdom. At least that's what's supposed to be happening. Here's how this works. As we talked about in a previous session, the objective of the kingdom of heaven is to expand the kingdom through discipleship, through teaching everybody to obey everything that Jesus commanded, those verses that we looked at last week. That's the objective. But the way that that happens, the way that God gets his kingdom established in a region, the way that he gets his purposes established in the earth is that each ministry has a function. Each parachurch organization, each Bible school, each local church, each prayer ministry, each group that the Lord kind of clusters together has a purpose. And that purpose, going back to the ranch analogy, it's really a group of people that are keeping the cows together. It's really a group of people that are working on that windmill. It's really a group of people that are working on keeping the fence line together. The Lord gives specific assignments in the kingdom to groups in order that each ministry would function according to specific marching orders to accomplish specific purposes in the kingdom. And then every individual fulfills specific parts of those larger components. And so figure out, you know, on the ranch analogy, think about the windmill. It's like you got one person or a team of people that are working on that windmill, and one's job is to make sure that the structures just stay upright and keep hammering in those nails as the wind blows and some of those nails come loose. Another is to keep the windmill greased so that it'll continue to, you know, turn. You know, another one is to, you know, take care of this and make sure that the lines are all connected. I mean, each person has a specific role within the assignments of the ministry in order to be able to make sure that everything operates. Serving the kingdom of God, I was just thinking about this, another probably ranch analogy. Sorry, you can tell where I've been for a few days. Another few components here of this is the difference between the way a spider lives and the way an ant colony lives. Thinking about a spider, it's all self-serving. It's by itself. It builds a web to catch its own food. It does what it wants. It goes where it wants. It's its own man. That spider operates autonomously. But an ant colony works together. An ant colony builds a city. I mean, no doubt, you look at what a spider builds, and it's got a measure of glory to it, the web, and it's kind of neat. But you just think about how intricate an ant colony is and that whole city that's happening underground and the way that all those ants are working together for the good of the entire colony. And that each of those, you've got the worker ones, these ants, this group and this category, that are all accomplishing different purposes to see that the ant colony goes forth. This is how the framework of the kingdom of God is supposed to operate. We're like an ant colony, not like a spider. We're not an end to ourselves. We are serving within a kingdom that has specific purposes. And I just want to say this kindly, but I want to just take it as a very simple idea, but one that I don't ever want us to forget. And as a church filled with young families, I think it's so important that we hear this message. I think it's so important that I hear this message. We've got to serve the kingdom of God in some capacity, every single one of us, in some capacity, at some level, beyond our immediate family. We have to, all of us. Here's why. Universally, the kingdom of God cannot expand or operate if everybody only serves their immediate family. There would never be a neighbor reached. There would never be an unbeliever discipled. It would never happen. That would never occur. The kingdom of God would be stagnant if all we ever did was just draw a line around our family and say, I'm going to minister to me and mine. We've got to start there, but we cannot stop there. The kingdom of God must expand beyond the walls of our immediate family. It's not a reproducible model if all we ever do is touch those that are in our family. We've got to start there. That is the beginning point. But we've got to reach beyond that. Reach beyond the walls of our family and serve the kingdom. And I'll throw this in too because it's an important balance from that last statement. That last statement's true. We've got to serve beyond our immediate family. We have to. But here's the second part of this. There is a reality of seasons. And in some seasons, you are able to give more and serve more and do more than in other seasons. In some seasons, you know, a season of singleness and a season, you know, of great strength in finance, a season of abundance of time, a season. There's so much more that you can accomplish in those times. I know that. But in the times where things are strapped and finances are tight and stresses are high and you know, you've got a bunch of young kids at home, your output, your capacity to like build the kingdom of God is limited. Just don't let it be zero. It's limited. You cannot do what you could do a minute ago. That's okay. That's part of the kingdom order. Just don't let it be zero. Because you're still a part of the kingdom. Still a part of that colony. Still a part of the purposes of the Lord. And let the seasons ebb and flow and constantly reassess. You know, again, I said at the beginning of this message, we're not going to be able to know our part in the kingdom of God by one message, one prayer time, one list that you write out. That will work for today. You're going to need again to reassess in the next season, because things change. Life changes, you change, circumstances change. If you're faithful with little from the last season, then the Lord will give you more. And now things need to change because you can't keep doing what you were doing before, or it won't be called faithful anymore because you've been given more. You know, I mean, it's like, I just think about tithing. It's like, okay, you make $1,000 a month and, you know, you're tithing $100 and now you make $10,000 a month and you're still tithing $100. Yeah, no, that's how that works. You were given more, you give more. You know what I mean? That's how that works. Well, it's the same thing, not just with finances, with our soul and with our understanding and with our relationships and with our family and with everything. And so there's constantly a measure of reassessing. And you and the Lord are the ones that have this conversation to figure out where you're at, what you need to be doing. I just want us having the dialogue with the Lord. I just don't want us to get comfortable. I just know it's so easy. It's so easy to just kind of settle in and go, I'm just going to live the American kind of lifestyle and just show up and go to church and call that my service to the kingdom. There's more. There's a kingdom of God out there that needs to be built. And the only way it's going to be built is if we put our hands to the plow in various ways. And again, ask the Lord, what do you do in this season? It's going to look different every time. Well, I want to give you a starting point. This is not the answer to all things. I don't have a list of things that's like, if you just do these 10 things, you're good to go. It's different for every one of you. It's different in every season. The list of 10, it might be 10 for this one and 6 for that one and 40 for that one. My intention here is not to give us the clear marching path. My intention is to cast a broad net and to get all of us having the dialogue with the Holy Spirit. What does my service in the kingdom of God look like in this season? What do you want from me? How does this look? How does this shape out? All right, well, let's go back to the idea, the concept about the Lord establishing ministries in a region that are supposed to accomplish specific ministry assignments. Let me give you guys a couple of connection points here. I told you we were part of the body. Let's bring up that 1 Corinthians 12:18-20 verse. 1 Corinthians 12, this is God in his perfect leadership. So this is how the Lord does things. How do we know our kingdom role? Part of the answer to that question is that in the body of Christ, there are many ministries and many ministry assignments that the Lord in perfect order has established in order to accomplish all the kingdom priorities that he has in a region. Think about that. How big in God's mind is the kingdom of God in the Dallas-Fort Worth region with 7.5 million people and 170 little municipalities and 6,000 congregations. I mean, this is a pretty significant down payment, you know, component of the kingdom of God. There's a big old kingdom of God out there, and the Dallas-Fort Worth region, the Lord has how many purposes? How many objectives? How many assignments? How many things that he wants done well all throughout the Dallas-Fort Worth area? God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. And if all were one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Now, I want you to think about this in the grander picture of the kingdom of God in the Dallas-Fort Worth region or Texas or America. Think of something bigger than the kingdom of God in this room, all right? All of the purposes of God that he has in the region, if all were one part, where would the body be? How would the kingdom of God be accomplished? If every group was a carbon copy of the last group, and every assignment was a carbon copy of the last assignment, this would be the most bland kingdom of God, you know, dynamic in the region that it has ever been. It would be boring. It would be unproductive. It would be like clones. It would not be the kingdom. The kingdom of God is organic, and it's based off assignments and following the Lord's direction. The point that I'm making here is that the Lord has established kingdom outposts, local churches, ministries, groups in the body of Christ with specific assignments. And if that group will do its assignment, and that group will do its, and that group will do its assignment, then all of it coming together services the kingdom of God in the region according to the purposes that the Lord has. It doesn't work for it all to just be carbon copies and everybody just copy what the church down the street is doing. That's not how the kingdom of God is run. The Lord gives specific marching orders into the body of Christ for this group to do this thing and this group to do this thing and this group to do this thing. And there's a little bit of overlap, but there's a significant amount of unique kingdom assignments that the Lord is trying to accomplish in the region. Why do I tell you that? Because part of the way that you know what your role in the kingdom of God is, part of it, but it's a very real part. Part of it is you take cues from the ministry that the Lord connected you to. You take some cues. Well, what am I supposed to be doing? How am I supposed to serve the kingdom of God? Well, what is the assignment that the Lord gave the ministry or ministries that you're a part of? That's part of how you serve the kingdom of God. I mean, it's actually a very simple thought process, but just to look at this, just a 1, 2, 3 about some kingdom assignments, I'll give you three very broad stroke components of the kingdom of God. Now, this is so simplistic. It is way more complex than this in reality, but I'm just going to break it down to three just simple ideas. The call to serve the lost in the kingdom of God, evangelism. The call to get the saved committed to the kingdom purposes, discipleship, and the call to bring committed believers that love Jesus to become fascinated and to worship him, the first and the greatest commandment, or the priesthood, if you will. Now, there's a lot more to it than that, but if you just want to look at what are these different ministries about, well, what's that church about? Man, they are fiery. They're all about evangelism. What's that church about? Man, they're great at discipleship. They're really, you know, really running after that. What's this prayer ministry down the street about? It's really trying to call the body of Christ into a place of deep fascination with Jesus and worshiping him. And all of those have a place. All of those are part of let the kingdom of God come on the earth as it is in heaven. All of those are part of the purposes of the Lord in a region. And the Lord gives each ministry a corporate assignment. And the only way that corporate assignment can be met is if the people that are a part of that corporate group are doing that corporate assignment. It's the only way that assignment will get met. There's no other way. The Lord has developed the kingdom of God as a supreme manager. He's running the most incredible company that has ever existed. He is like the ultimate CEO. He is running this corporation with excellence. And he's got managers and teams and departments and divisions and groupings in order to accomplish all the purposes of his kingdom order. And the only way that the kingdom of God will operate smoothly in a region and accomplish all of the purposes that the Lord has is if those different corporate assignments are taken seriously and sought after. We're all working together in one kingdom. I'm going to give you guys this little analogy, a picture out of the book of Exodus. You guys are familiar with Moses' leadership in the desert. Well, one of the kingdom assignments, Moses had several, but one of the kingdom assignments that the Lord gave Moses was he told Moses, have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. Now, let me tell you what we're looking at here. The first part of the kingdom, the way that the Lord organizes things and orchestrates things, this is just a starting point, is he finds some willing guy, Moses. Just some guy who had a stuttering problem, okay? He's just some dude, all right? He finds some guy, and he says, I need you to lead something for me. You guys know the burning bush. One of his previous ministry assignments was go get the people up out of Egypt, obviously a very large assignment. But the point is, he's brought the people up out of Egypt, now they're out in the desert, and God keeps giving Moses more assignments. He keeps giving him more leadership-specific assignments. So in this specific assignment, he tells Moses, Moses, I need you to have the people make a sanctuary for me. And I will give you the pattern that they are to follow to be able to build it. I'll give you specific instructions on how that thing is supposed to work. So the first is God assigns the task. He assigns the ministry assignments to his leadership. And he says, here's the assignment, take it. Next, the leader's job is to assemble the people to do the specific task. Look at this verse in Exodus 36, talking now about how this tabernacle is going to be established. God tells Moses, Moses, build me a tabernacle. Moses then goes back to the people. He says, God wants a tabernacle. The assignment our group has been given is to build God a tabernacle. Let's do it. Moses summoned. That means he got them all. He gathered the people together, and he gathered all the skilled people to whom the Lord had given ability and everyone who was willing to come to do the work. Now, it's interesting. It says everyone who was willing to come do the work, but the assignment was given to the entire population. The assignment was given to everybody. The Lord told Moses, Moses, get all the people. And Moses was able to gather some number of them. But the assignment was given to all. And it says, those who were willing to come and carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary, and the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning, more than enough for doing the work that the Lord had commanded to be done. The Lord assigned a specific kingdom assignment to this group of people. And he said, Moses, organize them, help figure it out, get them to move forward and do this thing. Well, the job of leaders is to gather believers into an assignment and to call them to labor towards that end that the Lord instructed. Our job together is working alongside with the leadership in the body of Christ in order to see those kingdom assignments expanded. And I'll just give you this verse, talking in Hebrews 13, verse 17. I just want to focus on the work aspect. Have confidence in your leaders, submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that will be of no benefit to you. Their work. Leaders are called to work and to organize others to work, to do the kingdom assignments. I'm just looking at this and it's really the brilliance of God in order to be able to run this organization, this empire of his, this kingdom, that he gives assignments and that they're supposed to be working together in order to accomplish those purposes. So part of your assignment, if this is where you've been called as to plant your family or you as an individual, is to help build this church and to help build our primary mission. And our primary mission as a church is the prayer room. That is our primary mission. Our primary expression is small groups and Sunday nights, but our mission isn't to have small groups. Our mission isn't to come together on Sunday night. Our mission that the Lord gave this ministry was to build the prayer room as best as we can. And so we sow a significant amount of our finances over there. It's the reason we ask everybody every week, join a prayer meeting. But join a prayer meeting isn't the end. That's supposed to be the beginning. Because a specific assignment this church was given was to see to the success of the prayer room missions base. To labor, to see that ministry grow and expand and be strengthened and be supported. And so one of the reasons that you hear about in the announcements on a regular weekly basis, some little excerpts here and there about the prayer room, is because that's our mission. The mission that the Lord gave this church. It's not our expression. We're trying to do small groups so we've got healthy discipleship. We're trying to come together on Sunday nights and preach the Bible so that we've got the Word of God in us. We're trying to be a part of prayer meetings at some level so that we've got a life in God, so that we've got a prayer life. But none of that touches our mission. The mission that the Lord gave this church was to help and strengthen the prayer room because of all the purposes that the Lord has for the prayer room in our region. I want to give you some helpful questions that you can ask yourself, and this goes a lot broader than the prayer room. This is just some talking points. We'll be done here in about 5 minutes. The intention of this series was not to give us a list of 1, 2, 3 things to do. Hey, if you do this and you do this, then you're all checked off. I want for us to start having a dialogue with the Lord about our lives, about why we're making the decisions that we're making in our lives, about how we're serving in His kingdom. How are the decisions that we're making, how are we making those in light of the kingdom of God around us, of the purposes of God around us, of our part in serving the kingdom of God? And so while now I'm going to give us a list of a few things that we can kind of take before the Lord and think about, this isn't the whole list. This is just a beginning point. This is just to get the dialogue flowing. So I don't want you to look at this and go, well, man, if I can just do all these things, then I'm doing good. Talk to Jesus. Ask Him what He wants you doing in this season. And if you hear Him, He speaks and you obey, then you're doing good. First, ministry partnership. Again, we just talked about the prayer room and helping prayer lead or section lead or worship lead or something to see the prayer room strengthen, not just attending, but actually strengthening the prayer room. That's a ministry partnership. Another is disciple making. Are you involved in intentionally making disciples in any way? Are there people that you're discipling, people that you're looking after, that you're helping grow in God? That's taking the kingdom of God like in your hands and using what God has given you. Time, wisdom, love, family life, understanding in the Word, encouraging text messages, all of those things in disciple making. But disciple making is a real piece of the kingdom of God. Other discipleship efforts, sharing your faith with the lost who are around you, teaching the Bible in any setting, one-on-one, small groups, large groups, any groups, writing worship songs that are helping to then, you know, bring people closer to the Lord. Helping out in the children's ministry here. These are other discipleship efforts that are beyond your own family that are helping to build and establish and strengthen the kingdom of God. There's 100 things that could be on that list. Again, I'm not trying to give us an exhaustive list. I'm just trying to get us thinking. Praying for the kingdom of God. Investing. This counts. Did you know that praying for God's kingdom to be established, praying for His purposes, laboring in the place of intercession, asking Him to build His kingdom, establish His kingdom, end this, start this, release that, oh God, come, bring revival, all that stuff, that counts. That's kingdom of God initiatives that you're pushing forward. I'm not saying that every person needs to do this or every person needs to do this. I'm trying to give us a little bit of a gambit here of understanding that there are many ways that we can serve the kingdom of God. I just don't want us sitting like a bump on a log, not doing anything. And there's different seasons where maybe you can do more of this and then you got to do less of that, but let's not let it be zero. Financing the work of the kingdom of God. I know there are some folks that their main object or a main mission from the Lord is make money. Maybe it's not even a lot. Maybe you're a one-talent guy called to the marketplace or a one-talent gal. Well, if you're a one-talent gal and you're called to the marketplace and you're making all the money you can make and all that gives you is $55 extra at the end of the month, sow the $55 in. The Lord says, faithful. It's not about the amount. It's about the percentage of the heart. It's not about the dollar amounts. It's not about the productivity. It's not about how much fruit you produce. All that's up to the Lord. It's about engaging ourselves and building the kingdom of God with what we do have. I don't want us as a congregation, I so don't want for you to stand before the Lord at the end of your life and hear, I love you, but you lived an unproductive life in Christ. I don't want you to hear that. And I sure don't want it to be said that I didn't try to encourage us out of that. The leadership roles of the body of Christ are to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. It's our job to work for the kingdom of God while we pursue the greatest commandment, to love Him in all things, in every day, in every way. But our job, we have an assignment. It's to build the kingdom of God. And I just want to see us do it. I want it to be a part of our dialogue. I want it to be on the lips of our conversation with our children, in our interactions with one another, with our friends. When we see other believers in the body of Christ that we know and love, and they're settling into that American dream thing, and they're drawing back from the purposes of God, I want us to have conversations with them. I want us to talk to them and try to talk them out of that. And be like, no, let's serve the kingdom of God together. Let's not waste our lives. Let's not show up before the throne where the Lord says, loved, but unproductive. Oh my, painful. That's so bad. Like, I don't want to hear that. I don't want it to be said about any of us.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.